Wesley and Buttercup are? There we go. And what was the pet phrase that Wesley had for Buttercup, which he uses a few times in the movie? As you wish. As you wish. Now, this is actually a great phrase in terms of our Christian life, and especially in our Lenten journey. We discover, if we are attuned to them, what our true wishes are, what our true wants or desires are as well. What is it you desire? What is it you wish? What is it you want in life? I would offer today that our short gospel lesson is an insight on wants and desires. There are three, in fact, that are key to our journey as Christians. They may seem to be throwaway lines, but I believe that Luke means to tie them together in his gospel deliberately. They are three wishes, three desires, three wants. In each of them, Luke uses the same exact phrase. Listen to them. Number one, Herod wants to kill you. Number two, I, being Jesus, have desired to gather your children as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. And lastly, you were not willing. Herod wants, Jesus wants, you want. The first desire, the first want, Herod wants to kill you. So some Pharisees, probably not looking out for Jesus' best interest, how would they know that Herod wants to kill him? They tell him, Herod wants to kill you. Herod's name in itself should have made anyone pause. Herod the Great, of course, was the builder of the great temple, which took 100 years to build, outlived him, of course. But in our gospel today, it's Herod Antipas. And what do you know about Herod Antipas? He took the head from John the Baptist. Now, the Herods supposedly were descendants of the great Maccabees, but they really became compromisers with the Romans. They were kings, quote unquote, as long as Caesar said they could be kings. They had no problem compromising with the Romans. They had no problem killing their own family members if need be. So when Herod speaks, you take notice. Now, Jesus dismisses him, calling him a fox. But look at that ironic language. Herod's a fox, and Jesus is a hen. Ironic but apt language. But what is important to Luke is what Herod represents. What is Herod's desire? What is his want? He wants to kill Jesus. But he, like most politicians, want control and power, regardless of what steps he has to take to get there. Herod would sacrifice prophets. Herod would sacrifice the Torah. Herod would sacrifice his own religious heritage so that he could stay on top. Paul says today, our citizenship is in heaven. Jesus preaches a kingdom that is not of this world. Yet our great temptation is to think that we can bring about God's kingdom by our great ideas and by our wonderful efforts. There's a scene in Dante's Inferno that speaks to this. Now, Dante's Inferno, it has several levels. In the 10th level of the Inferno, Dante runs into the tomb of Farinata degli Uberti, who was a great politician in Florence. Here's how Dante describes Farinata's appearance. I already fixed my eyes on his, who raised himself with great chest and brow, surging as if he had all hell in scorn. And with his prompt and spirited hand, my guide pushed me toward him among the sepulchres, saying, make sure each word you utter counts. Rod Dreher adds, surging as if he held all hell in scorn. This Farinata is a haughty aristocrat. The portrait Dante paints of him in just a few lines is indelible. And then Dante goes on, at the foot of his tomb I stood, and he looked at me for a little till he asked with some disdain, who were your family? Here is a great politician of Florence, confined to hell. And what has he brought with him? His hubris. This is true of the Herod spirit of all time. Even the flames of hell cannot take their arrogance and love of power away. This is what the Herods want. Careful that we do not want the same thing. Careful that we do not mistake the kingdoms of this world for the kingdom of God. Herod wants. Secondly, what does Jesus want? Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. Jesus' desire is to restore and protect the people of God. That's Jerusalem, but also her spiritual descendants, you and me. God's heart is that his people turn to him and turn away from evil. Paul in the book of Romans speaks of his heart for the people of Israel, the Jews. His heart reflects Christ as he says, I would rather be anathema than for my brothers and sisters to perish. I would rather be eternally condemned. Moses interceded for the people of God in that nasty golden calf incident. God is very angry, and yet Moses says, blot me from the book of life for the sake of them. It's like the words of Isaac of Syria, who said a merciful heart was someone who had compassion for the whole creation, even those who are very wicked, even the enemies of truth. Christ desires to have compassion for Jerusalem, the whole creation, and the whole of humanity. However, there's one last desire. Jerusalem's. Jesus says, I would like to have been a hen protecting you, but you were not willing. It's easy to pick on Jerusalem of the first century, but does that not represent all of us? Christ's desire to show his compassion and love, if we were willing to receive it. Do we go throughout life as if Christ is not calling us to have a living relationship with him? I read recently about the stages of starvation. Apparently, in the latter stages, you no longer feel hunger at all. In fact, missionaries and aid workers, when they find these in the latter stages of starvation, they give them a little bit of sugar water to remind them of what their bodies need. And in fact, that little experience of sugar water causes them extreme pain until gradually the feelings of hunger come back. Well, this is an analogy for our spiritual environment in the world we live in. Jack Levison, who's the author of the book of our Lenten study, 40 Days with the Spirit, he says this, the same is true for us spiritually. We adopt compromised values that numb us to real life. We accept praises that inoculate us from real faith. We absorb distractions that derail us from pure spirituality. Our longings shut down. We stop hungering and yearning for God altogether. This is true for individuals, true for families, true for Christian communities. We need to be reminded again and be willing to be embraced by Christ. So what hope do we have for that last desire? There's a parable. So what happens is, God says to Abraham, I promise you to make a great nation of you. And he has him cut a bunch of animals in two. Did you catch that? And this is what a covenant is, by the way. The word covenant means to cut. To cut. And so Abraham has this dream, and what is the substance of the dream? A smoking fire pot and a torch go through the middle of those dismembered animals. What does that mean? It's God's way of saying, if I break this commandment, may what happened to those animals happen to me. It's a powerful, powerful symbol. Now, of course, we know what Abraham does. In the very next chapter, what does he do? Sarah has a maid named Hagar. He forgets all about God's promise and says, well, I need to take control of this myself. God promises me a son. Sarah and I are not going to have children, so Hagar, my name is Abraham, or Abram in this case. And the rest is history, Ishmael, etc. In a couple other spots, Abram is confronted with foreign powers who want to take Sarah as their wife. And he says, sure, go ahead and do that. But before they can be married, those foreign powers get sick. And they say, you fooled us. Your God has just judged us. So Abram doesn't have the faith that equals God's promise or power. And that's the point. The point is, God's promise, God's covenant, God's will transcends our weakness. Jesus, of course, is the ultimate fulfillment and example of this kind of covenant promise. Jesus would face death and hell itself for us on the cross. Jerusalem may not be willing. The world may not be willing. We may not be willing, but Christ transcends even our unwillingness, often not because of us, but in spite of us. The cross is greater still.